During the election on Monday night, Elections Canada took more steps to stop people from announcing results when the polls closed in the east, while the polls remained open in the west. It widened its ban to social media to prevent people from texting, Facebooking, and tweeting results, which is against the law. However, that didn't stop the tweets from flying. Our tech and trends columnist DJ Kelly joins me now to look at how things went and what changes we might see for next time. Hello, DJ.
Hi, Donna.
Well, it certainly isn't a new policy for Elections Canada. For years, they have had fines for the media if they broadcast results early. So what's special this time around?
Yeah. Imposing regulation on a broadcaster is not overly difficult for the federal government because everyone needs a license in order to be able to broadcast. The CRTC pretty much exists solely to regulate the broadcast industry, but you don't need a license, obviously, to blog or Facebook or tweet. So imposing a possible $25,000 fine on an average person is a little different. And it also begs the question, how do you actually control these people and stop them from doing that?
And I understand there were some creative ways that people were trying to get around the law on Monday night, DJ.
Yeah, Twitter was probably where the majority of the action was going on, actually. It was pretty entertaining to follow. The hashtag #TweetTheResults. Quickly popped up, and people began doing just that as the media began reporting the results in the Atlantic provinces. They started posting the results to tweet the results. By the end of the night, that hashtag had become the most used one in the entire world, which is kind of surprising, actually.
Yeah, but Canadians love their Twitter.
They certainly do. Some Canadians actually tried to get around the law by talking about the results and not actually saying what they were talking about. So one of my favorite examples on that one was kind of funny, actually. A person who was reporting things like, I've got 100 blueberries so far and 60 oranges. I'm surprised there haven't been more apples, sort of things like that. Now, I'm not a legal scholar by any means, but for the government to prosecute for something like that, I can imagine would be a very difficult proposition. Probably the most interesting development of the night, however, has to be that Brits, Americans, and Australians were offering to tweet the results on behalf of Canadians, which, of course, opens us up to an even bigger question. How does Election Canada prosecute someone living halfway around the world? Do they even have any jurisdiction over someone like that? And an even better question might even be, how do we even find these people? Elections Canada would have to petition Twitter to get the IP addresses of every user who flaunted the law and then take the time to actually track them down. I mean, with it being the most popular hashtag in the world for that night, do they even have the resources to follow that many leads or prosecute that many people? I wish Elections Canada luck, but as you know, one Twitter user said on that night, it's like trying to plug a hole in a dam with a paper towel. I mean, if people want this information, they're going to find a way to get it.
Yeah, and even before social media, that was the case. But there was also a rumor going around that Twitter was blocking the results from being published on their service. Is that true, DJ?
I haven't actually been able to find any evidence of that, but I've heard it from some pretty reputable places. My guess is that just like any popular hashtag, there were a lot of jokes and incorrect information flying around on that tweet the results hashtag on Monday. So in addition to like the Maury Povich, you know, results jokes and Darth Vader is Luke's father and Snape killed Dumbledore, you know, those kinds of quote-unquote results that people were tweeting, there were some users posting jokingly redacted tweets that were sort of feigning censorship, I suppose. Most tweets would have, you know, sort of long blacked-out parts in between words like liberal or electron, etc. So my guess is that most of the people thinking Twitter was blocking the results were referring to these sort of joke tweets. The other possibility is that it takes a few minutes for a tweet you make to be posted on the hashtag stream, so it might seem like Twitter hadn't published your comments. So this assumption could have been happening, too. I'm not really sure. I haven't been able to find any hard evidence that Twitter was blocking anything.
I think I did see a note that said, tweet the results, took itself down for a few hours, but...
Yeah, basically a Twitter fall, if you will. Basically, all the tweets that were coming in to tweet the results were being posted to a website, tweettheresults.ca. That website was taken down, but it obviously didn't stop anyone from still tweeting the way that they were doing it before.
DJ, you mentioned that if people want the information, they will find a way to get it. So does that mean that Elections Canada really is fighting a losing battle here?
Absolutely. 100% they're fighting a losing battle. The law was written in the 1930s, and I would say it sorely needs to be updated. I mean, we've talked about this here before during this column. When shutting down a portion of the Internet is the best option available to you, I think you seriously need to rethink your strategy. Like we've been talking about it before, we were talking about it in regards to Egypt and Libya. So I'm not equating the two situations, but there are obviously some similarities between the two. I mean, people use the internet to organize. You can't fight that, or you can try to fight that, and you're going to fail, or you can embrace it somehow. And obviously, there's lots of potential solutions if you were to embrace that. The biggest one that might be actually the overhauling of the voting system in general, which hasn't really been updated since Confederation 150 years ago. And obviously, the world has changed a lot in the past 150 years, and we're probably long overdue to reexamine our voting system and maybe even our form of democracy for that matter. But the appetite for change like that probably isn't there because, I mean, that would be really hard, and the political parties, as we know, aren't really big on changing the fundamental things that put them into power to begin with. But there are some small changes that could be coming that could alleviate this time zone problem, however. We could have voting end at the same time across the country. That's one that's been brought up quite often. Or we could simply not open any of the ballot boxes on the East Coast until the polls close on the West Coast. Those two might not be ideal either, but they're a lot better and a lot less expensive than what we're trying to do right now by banning social media.
Good to talk to you, DJ.
It's my pleasure, Donna.
That's DJ Kelly. He's a blogger, texter, and Twitterer. He is our technology and trends commentator here on Alberta at Noon. You can check out his website, djkelly.ca.